pieces are going to get skipped over. Step 5. Integrate your USP into all marketing materials. A USP is worthless if it isn't conveyed throughout every aspect of your business. Include your USP on all public communications. Your trucks, vehicles, and buildings. Your advertising and promotional materials. Business cards, letterheads, signs, brochures, and flyers. Your website and your email signature. Your voicemail system, receptionists, sales scripts, etc. Step 6. Make it real. A USP has to be strong enough to convince people to buy, or even better, switch brands. If it doesn't capture your audience attention, or the benefit hook is too weak, it won't work. And then you have to make your USP real. You must deliver on what you say. A pizza delivered in 40 minutes makes the 30-minute guarantee a fraud. Fraudulent USPs get exposed fast and create human resource systems ready to rickroll your company. Get noisy. Next time you're stuck in traffic, look around. Every car looks the same. Nothing commands any significant attention. It's a sea of fading, exhaustive blather. Born a marketer, this is why I'm preferential to Lamborghinis. They rise above the noise, and so should your brand. Face it, no one likes to be like everyone else. The average teenager strives not to be like everyone else, which is why we've all been deluged with nipple rings, eye piercings, goth, and tattoos. All expressions of, I'm unlike everyone else. Successful companies take the same approach with their branding and marketing. Writing this book, while challenging, wasn't the real challenge. Getting it into the hands of people will be the real challenge. Why? Because the topic of finance and money-making is crowded and saturated with Me Toos. In other words, the noise is deafening. While this book is the realization of my dream, to succeed as a best-selling author, I need to get my brand above the noise. One look at my Facebook update feed, and all I see is noise. College dropout earns $2,000 in one day. Find out how. See how I make $15,000 a month with this fantastic opportunity. New startup with a forced matrix plan guarantees you a six-figure income. Check out this awesome affiliate program. I just made $300 today. Be your own boss. I recently used an internet calculator that tabulated my wealth percentile, which ranked my net worth in comparison to all my peers in the United States. I was ranked in the top 1%. While I'm flattered, it exposes my challenge. My net worth is indicative of unique and extraordinary, but in the world of perception, it's lost in the noise. On Facebook, you'd never guess that most everyone is near broke. Nope, on Facebook, everyone is a multimillionaire, a success coach, a guru, or a model. Everyone is in the top 1% of his or her game, including the real top percent. You see, we're all marketers, and some of us are marketers of an illusion. What this does is creates an abundance of noise and makes it harder for the real purveyors to be heard. Your marketing efforts must rise above the noise. How to rise above the noise. There are 5 ways to get your message out above the noise. 1. Polarize. 2. Arouse emotions. 3. Be risque. 4. Encourage interaction. And 5. Be unconventional. Number 1. Polarize. Polarization probably isn't the best business strategy for a mass market brand because polarization involves extreme viewpoints or messages. You don't want to piss off half your customer base. However, polarization works fabulously for websites in need of traffic or books in need of readers. Polarization works because it involves an extreme viewpoint, which forces people to either love you or hate you. Sarah Palin is polarizing. You either love her or want to toss her off the deck of a boat in the alligator-infested Everglades. Political pundits use polarization to sell books, because readers will want to rally for a cause or furiously refute it. Websites that polarize attract visitors as people defend their cause while others attack it. If you're a rabid fan of the Chicago White Sox and start a website that viciously attacks the ineptness of the Chicago Cubs, you can expect a polarized audience, people who agree and concur, and people who will oppose and defend. This book itself can be classified as polarizing. Many people will castigate my viewpoints as extreme, since it goes against conventional wisdom. Oh my God, he said that cutting coupons won't make me rich. He castigated my 401k. Opposition to normal will always be considered polarizing. Be risque. Sex sells, and it is the most used get-above-the-noise technique. Sex is a powerful noise disruptor because sex never gets old. You can overuse it, but people will always respond to it because sex is always in style. In 2005, GoDaddy aired its first Super Bowl ad by using sex as a weapon to get above the noise. The now infamous GoDaddy Girl ads followed in subsequent years. I never thought the ads were that good, yet they got above the noise and got people's attention. The result? Increased sales, and GoDaddy's market share surged to 32% after 2006. I see the risque technique used on Facebook by social media marketers. One woman does a video lecture on marketing techniques in her bikini. When she does one of these, her bikini video receives 5 times the viewership and comments. Why do the bikini video lectures do so much better than the normal ones? Simple. Sex gets above the noise. Men see the woman's busty chest in the video preview and think, ooh, I gotta check that out. While women are curious, oh my God, who is doing a video in a bikini top? It is almost a mix of polarization and sex. Arouse emotion. Most consumer buying decisions are driven by emotions. You and I buy stuff because we want to feel something. I don't buy a Lamborghini to go from point A to point B. That's practicality. I buy to feel something. Pride, achievement, uniqueness, adrenaline, and fame. Another example of using emotions to move your audience comes from the nonprofit organization, the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty for Animals. This organization was founded over a century ago, and I have never heard of it until recently. How did they break above the noise? They launched a powerful marketing campaign that unleashed emotions. Their commercials featured abused animals confined in cages, with a tender, heartfelt soundtrack playing in the background. If you can move your audience's emotions to make them care, they will buy. Exhilarate people, make them cry, and make them laugh. Your message will rise from the ashes of noise and compel people to buy. Be interactive. It's one thing to watch, it's another to do it. They say if you want to boil your passions, test drive the car of your dreams. Interactivity increases response for anything. If you can taste it, feel it, or use it, you will be more likely to buy it. Interaction is like hearing your name. It's your favorite. On Facebook, the most popular applications are surveys and questionnaires because people love narcissism. My favorite movie is The Usual Suspects. I love pizza. I own a poodle. People love to talk about themselves, and if you entwine that into your marketing plan, you will improve the response to your product or service. For example, if I launch a survey, are you speeding the fast lane or stuck in the slow lane? Find out now. I'm engaging in an interactive campaign designed to get people involved and to talk about themselves. When your potential customers break down their personal barriers and expose pieces of themselves, they move closer to you as if there were a relationship. A relationship sells more than an anonymous corporate entity. Find out what happens next. Some corporations are using traditional media and the internet to foster interaction. I recently saw a commercial for an automobile manufacturer that filmed a story with a high-speed chase, except the story never concludes and we are left with, find out what happens next, visit the website. By teasing audiences with messages or stories that are incomplete, potential customers are forced to complete the story by visiting a website, and the website fosters interaction. The revolution of social media, blogs, and Web 2.0 is founded on interaction. You just don't want to read an article. You want to comment on it. Your 2 cents must be heard. Be unconventional. Convention breeds familiarity. If you've seen it 36 times in the last month or something like it, do you think it's going to work? For example, be your own boss is such an overused phrase, its power has been drained. Yet I still see advertising headlines and subtitles from so-called gurus using Be your own boss, as if the phrase wielded power. It's been pulverized into flaccidity, so why the heck are you using it? What's unconventional? Have you ever seen a Lamborghini sold for a dollar? I know I haven't, and if I did, I would remember. The campaign would arouse curiosity because it's unconventional. What crazy person would sell an expensive car for a buck? Is it a scam? What's the catch? I've got to see. Another example of unconventional is to break convention by mocking it or interrupting it. Remember the Energizer Bunny? It's still going and going. These commercials built a brand based on unconvention. The advertiser created a series of standard, boring marketing messages and shattered them with sudden interruptions of the Energizer Bunny. The marketer anticipated your familiarity with convention. Ugh, another boring commercial. And shocked the audience by interrupting that boredom with a pink rabbit. AdAge.com recognized these commercials as one of the top 100 campaigns of all time. Another mocker of convention is the Geico Insurance Company, which took typical situations and interjected the scenes with a surprise punchline. I've got great news. I've just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance. Conventional scenarios were shattered with the narrative, I got great news, which created unconvention. Another Geico spot mocked convention when it appeared you were watching a promo for a new reality TV series called Tiny House. The promo featured a newlywed couple who supposedly moved into a midget-sized apartment for one full year and endured cramped quarters and rising marital tensions. You see the couple hitting their heads on low ceilings and struggling for a good night's sleep in a tiny bed. But wait a second. This expected convention of reality is nothing but a ruse that will shatter into unconvention when an announcer voices, "The drama will be real, but it won't save you any money on your car insurance." If you get someone's attention, half the battle is won. The other half is letting selfishness take over your audience and tailor your messages to self-interest. In other words, the good old, "What's in it for me?" Well, how about saving 15% or more on your car insurance? What's in it for me? It's ironic. To succeed a fast lane, we must forsake selfishness, yet satisfy the selfishness of others. Did I say this would be a nice, cozy stroll down the beach? The first human behavior you can count on is selfishness. People want what they want. People don't care about you, your business, or your product, or your dreams. They want to help themselves and their family. It's human nature. Therefore, our marketing messages must focus on benefits, not features. People need to be told exactly what's in it for them. How will your product or service help them? What's the benefit? In marketing speak, it's called what's in it for me, or the WIFM principle. My customers were small business owners, and yet I served millions of consumers too. This intermediary relationship allowed me to study the behavior of both consumers and producers in a powerful, accelerated fashion. I learned things in weeks that would take educators months to ascertain. I noticed that small business owners fall into their own selfish trap and love singing the praises of their company. They sell features, not realizing that people rent convenience and events, not limousines. As consumers, we buy things to solve needs, to solve problems. We engage in transactions to fill voids. You don't buy a drill, you buy a hole. You don't buy a dress, you buy an image. You don't buy a Toyota, you buy reliability. You don't buy a vacation, you buy an experience. We must become problem solvers, and to identify our business as a savior to someone, we must translate features into benefits. Does the fact that you own the largest limousine company in Colorado solve my problem? It doesn't until you translate that feature into a benefit. Translating features into benefits. If you want to sell anything, translate features to benefits. A four-step process accomplishes this. Number one, switch places. Number two, identify features. Number three, identify advantages. Number four, translate advantages into benefits. First, trade places with your typical buyer. Be them. Who are they? What is their modus operandi? Are they affluent CEO types or price-sensitive Walmart shoppers? Cash-strapped students or single moms? If you can't identify your typical buyer, your results will be flawed and your benefit will be of no benefit. Once you identify your buyer, ask, what do they want? What do they fear? What problem do they want solved? Or do they just want to feel something? For example, two brands of the same product could have two different buyers. A person who buys a Corvette is going to have a different psychological motive than someone who buys a Volvo. Both are cars, yet the sports car buyer isn't buying basic transportation. The Corvette buyer is most likely a risk taker, self-employed, independent, outspoken, and assertive. The Volvo buyer, on the other hand, is probably more concerned with family and safety. He or she is probably conservative, analytical, and family-oriented. Two totally different buyer profiles means each marketing effort must be specifically targeted to the desires of each group. After you switch places with your customer and grasp what they want, your next step is to isolate the features of your product. For my web service, here are just a few features I had. Number one, upload pictures. Number two, target leads by vehicle, date, and service. Number three, schedule vehicles. While these features were great, it was my responsibility to translate them to benefits. What makes them so great? What advantages do they offer my client? After you isolate those features, translate those features into benefits or a specific result. Extrapolate forward the benefit of that certain feature. This is where you drive home why someone should buy from you versus the other guy. For my web service, the feature of upload pictures translated to quit wasting time with client meetings at garages. Upload photos of your fleet and show your clients to your product immediately. The target leads feature translated to target the clients you want right down to the day, service, and vehicle type. Schedule vehicles translated to maximize your fleet's road time and receive leads based on your vehicle availability. Each feature transcribed to a specific benefit that would compel my buyer to join. I didn't let them fill in the blanks. I filled in the blanks for them. Using price as a branding weapon. Price is like a paint job for your product or service. My first taste of paint and its implications came young. I wasn't much older than 6 or 7. Mom staged a 2-day garage sale, and she permitted me to sell some toys and keep the money. One item I offered for sale was a football clock, a timekeeping monstrosity. I vividly remembered its sale price, $2.55. A steal, I reasoned. On the first day of the sale, my clock gathered many looks, but no sale. My young mind plotted. How could I get $2.55 for my clock? I didn't want to budge on my price, surely because $2.55 was the cost of some gadget I wanted to buy at the corner store. Then I had an idea. I grabbed the masking tape Mom used for labeling prices. I tore 4 small pieces of tape and stuck them above the current price. Then on the first piece of tape, I boldly wrote $5.55 and crossed it out. The next piece of tape, I wrote $4.50 and crossed it out. Then $3.95 and the next $2.95. Each piece of tape successively had a lower price, clearly crossed out so buyers could see the price reduction, leaving the same old price of $2.55. Now my clock was priced exactly the same, except it was presented differently. The taped higher prices, visibly slashed, conveyed two things. Number one, a higher value, and number two, a smoking deal. And guess what? The second person to look at the clock bought it. I succeeded at reframing price in the mind of my buyer. Of course, at 7 years old, I had no clue what marketing meant nor what I was doing. Yet, this was my first exposure to marketing and the implication price has to value. Price conveys more than just cost. Price is a brand builder because price implies value. The more expensive your price, the higher its perceived value. The cheaper your price, the cheaper its perceived value. Price isn't simply a number that tells someone what something costs. It conveys value and worth. There's an old story I heard about how price equates to value. Cleaning his basement, a man found an old dresser and decided to give it away. He moved the dresser to the street corner and placed a sign on top of it, free. Shockingly, the dresser stood there all day and for several days thereafter. This confused the man because the dresser, albeit old, was in decent shape and just needed a quick wood stain for perfection. The man decided a new strategy was warranted. He went to the street corner and replaced the free sign with $50. Not an hour later, the dresser was stolen. Same objective, different pricing strategy. Unless price is your brand, Walmart, Southwest Airlines, don't let price steal your brand when it should be defining it. Price is more than just a competitive metric that slides up and down to sell goods faster. It also indirectly conveys the value of your product or service. I had multiple competitors who undercut me by 10%, sometimes 20%, yet I continued to prosper. If I wasn't the cheapest, so how did I do well? My service had better value, and I kept my price correlated to that value. My leads were better targeted, I had better joint venture partners, I had great support, I was running a brand while my competitors were running businesses. My artist friend who painted the most exquisite, beautiful paintings priced her work through her own limited price filter. She was a single mom struggling to pay the bills, living paycheck to paycheck. For her, $500 was an extraordinary amount, and because of that, she priced her works far below their true value. Her own corrupted vision of price distorted her earning power and degraded the perceived value of her work. I suggested to her a price increase. Take that $90 painting and make it $300 and see what happens. Sure enough, she sold just as much art at the higher price because price implies value and defines brands. Even in the slow lane, pricing can play a role in the form of the salary you're willing to take. For example, this was posted at the fast lane forum.
A company placed two ads for only one web programmer position in the paper. One listed the salary as $120,000 a year. The other ad listed it for $32,000 a year. The first higher-paying ad received only 4 responses. The second ad for much less pay got over 100 responses. Most people have a lack of confidence in themselves and their ability and are willing to settle for much less.
Are you settling for less in business? Is your warped frame of value corrupting your unrealized potential? The right pricing strategy is crucial to brand building and marketing. The wrong price conveys the wrong meaning. For industries with heavy commoditization, price is crucial. A public relations consultant can charge 30% higher than their competitors, but a gas station can't. While I'm completely heterosexual, I have a fascination with designer purses because I admire their pricing strategy. How does a handbag sell for $4,000 when it probably cost them less than $100 to produce? Branding and marketing. Price is a part of the brand build. Price is one of the many ways to get into the consumer's head. To use price for your brand, you have to convince the consumer of value beyond the cost of its practicality. What makes you different from the rest? Why should someone pay you more? As a marketer, you have to drill down into your buyer's mind and get your brand differentiated. Own the consumer's mind, and you own the consumer. Chapter Summary, Fast Lane Distinctions. Marketing and branding, the queen, is the most powerful tool in your fast lane toolbox. Businesses survive, brands thrive. Businesses have identity crises, brands don't. Identity crises force business owners into price commoditization. Unique selling propositions, or USPs, are the keys to your brand and differentiate your company from the rest. People have a natural disposition to be unique and unlike everyone else. To succeed in marketing, your messages have to break above the advertising clutter or noise. Polarization is a great above-the-noise tool if your product targets a polarized audience, usually politics, minority opinions, and even sports teams. Sex sells and always draws eyeballs. Consumers make buying decisions based on emotions before practicality. If you can arouse emotions in your audience, you'll be more likely to convince them to buy. People have a natural disposition to talk about themselves. If you can incorporate interaction into your campaigns, you'll have better success. To be unconventional means to first isolate and identify what is conventional, then doing the opposite or interrupting that convention. Consumers are selfishly motivated. Always target your messages toward the predisposition of what's in it for me. Features are translated to benefits when you switch positions from producer to consumer, identify the feature's advantages, and extrapolate those advantages into a specific result. Price implicitly conveys value and worth. Don't allow your own perception of price direct your brand to mediocrity. Chapter 44, Choose Monogamy Over Polygamy. No horse gets anywhere until it's harnessed. No steam or gas ever drives anything until it is confined. No Niagara is ever turned into light and power until it is tunneled. No life ever grows until it is focused, dedicated, disciplined. Harry Emerson Fosdick. Cheating spouses aren't good partners. As we near the end of our conversation, I must address the Fastlane's need for faithfulness. Monogamy. In college, my friend Marcus Tickell was quite the ambitious entrepreneur. And Marcus, if you're listening to this, I apologize for the call out. But what the hell were you thinking? Marcus would get involved in a different business every week. One week it was some moronic MLM program, the next it was some turnkey ad scheme found in the back of an entrepreneur magazine, and the next it was some classified ad program. Different week, different opportunity. My friends eventually coined this opportunity-hopping neurosis the Tickell syndrome. The Tickell syndrome is a compulsion to scatter your focus across different projects and different opportunities. It is also a symptom of money chasing versus need filling. When you invest your time into five different businesses, you become a polygamist opportunist. The idea is to toss as much shit on the wall as possible because something's gotta stick. Something's gotta make me some money. A scattered focus leads to scattered results. Instead of one business that thrives, the polygamist opportunist has 20 businesses that suck. 10 businesses earning $10,000 cumulatively are not better than one business that does it single-handedly. When you segregate your effort among assets, you build weak assets. Weak assets don't do heavy lifting, and they don't build strong pyramids. Weak assets do not generate speed. Weak assets do not scale to multi-million dollar valuations. Weak assets do not accelerate wealth. They build income to pay for the month's bills, only to start over again next month. I forayed into polygamy when I started another web business that mimicked the model of my current company. Once launched, the new web business siphoned time away from my core breadwinning company. In effect, I cheated on my spouse, and it showed. Time once allocated to my thriving company now went to the infant company. The results were not good, and I had four options. Number one, continue cheating on my existing business. Number two, hire someone to manage the existing business. Number three, hire someone to manage the new business. Or four, discontinue the new business. Ultimately, I discontinued the new company because I reasoned that hiring additional employees would inject management time into my life. Monogamy leads to crazy fun polygamy. I don't know any highly successful polygamist opportunists unless they were monogamous first. Seriously, think about it. The richest people in the world got rich by focusing on one core purpose and not diverting focus. LeBron James wouldn't be any good at basketball if he spread his interests around. He focused on one thing and one thing only, basketball. He ate, slept, and shit hoops. Now with his legendary status and millions in net worth, he can afford to be polygamous with his interests. To hit the top of your game, business or otherwise, you have to eat, live, and shit your thing. If you're dabbling in 10 different things, your results will be dabbling and unimpressive. Focus on one thing and do it in the most excellent way. Some of the greatest tech entrepreneurs built impressive companies by 100% committed focus, not diverted attentions into other ventures. Then, after successful entrepreneurs hit the motherlode of wealth, then and only then do they divert into other ventures that deviate from their core business. In other words, their monogamy led to polygamy. What's usually the first thing an entrepreneur does after they sell their company for $50 million? They go out and invest in multiple companies, get involved in philanthropy, and spread out their passions. Why is polygamy now possible? Money. Money buys systems, like human resource systems, and money systems that buy time. Fastlane's success comes from monogamy, not split attentions among wives and mistresses. It's marriage. Yes, good old-fashioned monogamy. Focus on one Fastlane business and kick ass at it. Chapter Summary, Fast Lane Distinctions. Tickell syndrome sufferers are polygamist opportunists who opportunity hop. A weak business commitment commits you to weak assets. Weak assets do not accelerate wealth. The most successful entrepreneurs lived their business and were 100% committed to it. Successful business monogamy can lead to successful business polygamy. Chapter 45. Put it together. Supercharge your wealth plan. Your choices are made in a moment, but their consequences will transcend a lifetime. M.J. DeMarco. Give wealth a supercharger. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. I've spun a lot of information your way, and it's time to put it together and take your first step. It's time to unfold your process with concerted action. You now have the necessary psychological and mathematical framework that will give you better probabilities for wealth. To start your Fastlane financial road trip, strap on the Fastlane Supercharger, which is an acronym for the Fastlane process. Number 1, formula, F in the Fastlane Supercharger. Wealth is a formula and a systematic process of beliefs, choices, actions, and habits that form a lifestyle. Wealth is a process, not an event. 2, admit, the A in Fastlane Supercharger. Admit that the preordained path to wealth, get rich slow, is fundamentally flawed because of uncontrollable limited leverage, weak mathematics predicated on time, wealth equals job plus markets. Admit that get rich quick exists. Admit that no plan is not a good plan. Admit that luck is the residue of engagement. Number 3, stop and swap, the S of Fastlane Supercharger. Stop following the wrong roadmaps. Stop doing what you've been doing. Stop selling your soul for a weekend. Stop thinking that 401ks and mutual funds will make you rich. Swap ineffective roadmaps for the Fastlane roadmap. Swap your allegiances from consumer to producer. Number 4, time, T in the Fastlane Supercharger. Time is the king asset of the Fastlane, specifically free time. Invest in activities that will grant free time. Avoid time thieves, such as parasitic debt that transfigures free time into indentured time. Invest time into a business system that can transform indentured time into free time. Make decisions with time as the key decision factor. Number 5, leverage, the L in the Fastlane Supercharger. Leverage controllable and unlimited mathematics to create wealth. There is no leverage within the slow lane wealth equation, an equation predicated on time, hourly pay, annual salary, annualized return, years invested. If you can't control the mathematics that predetermine your wealth, nor accelerate them into large numbers, you can't control your financial plan. Leverage is harnessed by a system that does the work for you. Number 6. Assets and income, the A in the Fastlane Supercharger. Wealth is accelerated by exploding income and asset value by a business that can be systemized and eventually sold in a liquidation event. Live below your means, but seek to expand your means by focusing on the income while simultaneously controlling expenses. Exponential growth of income and asset value, not slashing expenses, creates millionaires. Number 7, number, the N in the Fastlane Supercharger. What's your number? How much money will you need to live a lifestyle of your choosing? Determine your number, break it down by the penny, and make it real today. Start saving your loose change, open a brokerage account, and put a chart on your office wall that continually monitors your number's progress. Make your dream lifestyle real by posting photos of that lifestyle at your workspace. For example, if you want a cabin on a mountain creek, find a picture of that vision and put it on your computer so you have to see it every day. Make your visions of the future real and force them into your psyche so you're constantly reminded. If your dream is a Ferrari, buy a die-cast Ferrari model and put it in your car or on your desk. Make those dreams real and inescapable. 8. Affection, the E in the Fastlane Supercharger. Grace affection and you shall be graced with wealth. The law of affection states the more people whose lives you affect in an environment you control, the more money you will make. impact millions, and you will make millions. When you solve needs on a massive scale, money flows into your life. Money reflects value. 9. Steer, the S in the Fastlane Supercharger. Life's steering wheel is choice. At some point, you must commit to the Fastlane ideology, and that commitment forms your process. Wealth is not a choice of event, just like you cannot choose to lose 100 pounds and suddenly wake up 100 pounds lighter. How you steer determines whether the fast lane is a lifestyle or a hobby. To enforce good decisions at the extremes, deploy worst-case consequence analysis and the weighted average decision matrix. Decision horsepower is strongest in youth and bleeds with age. Examine your past choices. Why are you where you are? What has been treasonous to your life? Why are you drowning in debt? If you don't rectify the mistakes of your past choices, you will be destined to repeat them. Behavior change begins with a reflection of your past choices and modifying them for the future to reflect a fast lane mindset. Become responsible, followed by accountable. Number 10, uncouple, the U in the fast lane supercharger. Officially uncouple from the slow lane wealth equation by creating your business structure in a favorable fast lane entity, a C or S corporation or an LLC. Thereafter, your entity is the body of your surrogate business system. It pays itself first and the government last. It survives time separate from your time. It is your first step at creating an asset. Number 11, passion and purpose, the P in the Fastlane Supercharger. With a business entity and a dollar figure that outlines your dream life, you will need a passion and a purpose to fuel you into habitual action. Don't confuse passion with do what you love. Passion burns your soul and drives you to do whatever it takes. Passion revs you with excitement and rages you with discontent. Some passions are selfish, I want a Lamborghini, and other passions are selfless, I want to help orphaned children. It doesn't matter what it is, as long as the passion burns hot enough to burn a hole in your pants and get you embroiled into the process. Number 12, educate, E in the Fastlane Supercharger. Education begins at graduation. Pledge to never stop learning. What you know now is not enough to become the person you need to be tomorrow. Seek Fastlane knowledge that fosters the construction and operation of business systems in an environment that you control. Get to the library and get on the internet. Information is the oil on your financial journey. Ensure daily reading in short bursts by leveraging existing blocks of time, often squandered, the train, the plane, while exercising on lunch break, an hour in the morning before work or waiting at the post office. Number 13, road, the R in the Fastlane Supercharger. Get onto a Fastlane road, but don't worry if you can't decide which road to travel. The road can pick you. Train your mind to see needs and problems. Observe your thoughts and language because they expose unmet needs or needs being met poorly. You don't have to find the next breakthrough. Just find a problem, a pain point, a service gap, and solve it. Many of the best businesses in the world are based upon products that already existed. The owners solved the problem better. When you focus on needs, problems, inconveniences, and issues, roads open. Yes, the road chooses you. Number 14, control, the C in the Fastlane Supercharger. Control your financial plan as this refers to the commandment of control. Engage in an organization that you fully control, from pricing to marketing to operations. Fastlane entrepreneurs don't cede control over critical business functions to hierarchical control structures because they are the control structure. Swim as a shark, not as a guppy. Number 15, have, the H in the Fastlane Supercharger. Have what others need and money will flow into your life. This reflects the commandment of need. You can't explode your income by chasing money. Stop chasing money because it eludes those who try. Instead, focus on what attracts money, and that is a business that solves needs. Money comes from providing value. Cast aside selfishness and seek to have what your fellow man wants. When you do, money flows into your life because money is attracted to those who have what others want, desire, crave, or need. Number 16, automate the A in the Fastlane Supercharger. Automate your business and honor the commandment of time. Get your time detached from your business. The best passive income money tree seedlings are money systems, rental systems, computer systems, content systems, distribution systems, and human resource systems. The key to automation in any business lies in these seedlings. 17. Replicate the R in the Fastlane Supercharger. Replicate your system and honor the commandment of scale. Get on a playing field where home runs can be hit. To make millions, you must impact millions. To impact millions, you must be on a field capable of affecting millions. Can your product, service, or process be replicated on a global scale to tap the law of affection? Number 18, grow the G in the Fastlane Supercharger. Grow your business by treating it multidimensionally, like a game of chess. Build a brand, not a business. Treat customers like your boss and reposition complaints to opportunities. Listen to the world as they offer the best directional clues. Resist commoditization. Differentiate yourself from the competition. Get above the noise. Focus on one business and one business only. 19. Exit the E in the Fastlane Supercharger. Have an exit strategy. Full passivity accomplished by a money system is one Fastlane destination. Money systems are best funded by liquidation events of massive asset values. Know when it's time to liquidate your assets, transforming paper money into real money. Know when it's time to get off the horse and learn to ride a new one. Number 20, retire, reward, or repeat, the R in the Fastlane Supercharger. After liquidating your asset, retire or repeat. Regardless of which, reward yourself for milestones met everywhere along the journey. Sell your first product? Celebrate. Go to dinner, buy a cigar, or drink a beer. Break $100,000 in net worth? Treat yourself to something nice. Book a joint venture deal? Celebrate with an indulgence. Go over $1 million? Take a nice vacation. Break $10 million? Buy a Lamborghini. Sir, we're closing. The Fastlane road trip isn't a destination, but a personal journey. And that journey becomes your life and your process. You will discover that the journey is worth living as long as your dreams are alive and have probability. It doesn't matter where you start, but how you proceed. The garage door to an exceptional life is open. Leave behind the past that keeps you grounded and take to the road. All Fastlaners start in similar straits of life turbulence.
But MJ, I have a mountain of credit card debt. But MJ, I have a job stocking shelves at the supermarket. But MJ, I have no time after work. But MJ, my wife hates my business ideas.
Beware of the butts, because they do just that. They grind your butt into the couch, doing nothing. Excuses never made anybody rich, and we all have them. Stop being like everyone else and start taking action. Make a choice today that can change the course of your life forever. So wow, we have been here a long time. The sun has set and the coffee shop attendant has flipped the closing sign. I want to thank you for joining me. If you want to discuss Fastlane Theory further, hit your browser to FastlaneEntrepreneurs.com or TheFastlaneForum.com. If this book has inspired you or changed your life, please tell a friend or let me know at mj.demarco@yahoo.com. So I hope the Millionaire Fastlane has awakened your dreams and given them a chance to live. Always remember, if your dream is alive, guess what? You're already living the dream. I hope everything for you, and maybe that perhaps someday your impact on the world will reverberate throughout the years and you can reflect on that simple choice made long ago, that choice to pick up a book and read it. To your dreams, good luck, and God bless. This has been the Millionaire Fast Lane, Crack the Code to Wealth and Live Rich for a Lifetime. Written and narrated by MJ DeMarco. Content copyright and production copyright 2012 by Viperion Corporation.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.